Hello and welcome to PokeSports, a competitive Pokemon podcast. I'm Mike and I play with one Pokemon on the field. I'm back to that.
I'm Kevin. Yeah.
You're going to make me do it already? Right at the beginning?
If you don't mind, I got a match to get ready for. Yeah.
Right, I'm going to do that at the regional. You think if you don't mind, you got a match to be ready for. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I believe it. I believe it. Kevin, you've been getting ready for some matches.
Have I?
Have you? I don't know. You've got a lot to talk about for best of threes this week, as far as I know. But this week we're going to be talking about a couple of different things. Kevin's had a bit of an experience with the best of three showdown ladder. We have the results hot off the presses from the Kitakami Prologue. And of course, we have Peoria Regionals. We're going to be talking about all that today on PokeSports. So get yourselves ready. But first off, this podcast is provided to you by us on the Patreon. Patreon.com/PokeSports.
PokeSports.
Where you can go and check out all the different things that we've been doing. Our Road to Ranked series. our Liege.
Liege.
Say it. There it is. Liege. Where we've been doing a monthly tournament. That we've just brought back. Signups are ending this week, so if you're planning on hopping into a tournament, get yourselves in right now. Not to mention you get a extended version of this podcast called The Preach. There it is. Head on over to patreon.com/pokesports and you can have a good time.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
All right, now, Kevin. Ask us if we planned that originally.
No. Absolutely not. I saw the little button that said jazz music, and I was like,
I'm going to click it now.
I think it's time. All right. Kevin, you have had some time on the Pokemon Showdown best of three ladder. Recently, Pokemon Showdown dropped a functionality where you can go and play best of three matches against people. And it has had mixed reception so far. Have you been finding it?
I think originally I was a little put off by it because there was a lot of complaints about it of like, hey, someone will just join and then leave. So it essentially acts like best of one ladder. Mm. But after like about 2 weeks of it being around and people playing and our friends on Discord, Mocha and Angelos, both getting like top 100 on the best of three ladder already. I'm like, okay, they could do it. I could do it. I just have to actually play it.
Sure.
So I opened it up at work. I played a total of 7 battles during my lunch break.
Oh, wow.
So 7 sets, not battles, 7 sets of best of three.
So up to 21 battles.
Yeah. Over my lunch break, I ended up going 6-1 in sets.
Hey.
I was like, okay. Of course I couldn't win the 7th game. This is just like a regional. But 6-1 in sets, not too bad. And I do find it that it's really, you know what's really nice? What? Is going into a battle, and then just getting the team sheet right away. Mm. You don't have to accept it is always on. That's always gonna help anyone that is good at the game out even further. So I was like, okay, I can actually play this now. I don't have to guess if you're in prison trick room. I don't have to guess if you're a stupid ghost tarot and I'm trying to use a fighting move on you. I can just figure it out as I read your team sheet.
Let me drop a little bit of insight on people on this. The thing about best of three ladder, right, is that yes, people can drop after one game. And yes, the ladder kind of functions in the same way that, like, I don't know, Fortnite functions, where, you know, people who drop off early are then people who can hop onto more games quicker. So if, like, you know that you're going to lose, just cut your losses there, get into a new game that you know you're going to win, and then over time your rank will just be higher. But, like, once you go high enough in the ladder, that kind of stops happening. Mm-hmm. Like, people are there at a high ladder to, you know, do the best of threes, to actually like exist on the top of the ladder.
And it's very possible to lose game one and win game two and three.
Sure.
Like, it's not impossible. I'm pretty sure there were sets like, oh, I remember there was a set where I just got flinched on turn one and both my Pokemon got O-code when I outsped, and I would have done equivalent damage that would have knocked them out.
Sure.
I flinched. I was like, okay, well, forfeit. On to game two. But I stick. The problem is when people forfeit and leave. The thing is, you still get points for it, so it's not the worst thing ever. But you can forfeit and then just go on to game two. Just say ready for game two. It's actually very smooth. I was a little confused at first because it opens a lot of windows. Mm-hmm. But I guess that's just the way that the website has to function in order to have all the battles save appropriately. But yeah, it was very smooth, very seamless. It's once the battle ends, it asks, are you ready for game two? And you click yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
And then go on to game two.
So how many games have you played in this now? Is it just those seven sets?
Just those. Yeah, because today was a horror show at work. But yeah, just those seven sets. I did this all yesterday.
I see. Do you think after that small sample size that you are more prepared for a best of three after playing through those sets?
It's a small sample size, but absolutely. Like I think that part of playing best of three isn't always the Pokemon. It's learning how your opponent plays the game too.
Right.
Because you will encounter opponents that make very obvious plays. You will encounter opponents that make buck wild plays. And you kind of just have to see what your opponent's risk tolerance is. And you can only get that in a best of three set. You got to feel out game one, understand what their risk tolerance is, and then you can use that to your advantage game two and three. If your opponent plays very safely, you can just sit there and predict their protects every single turn, and you will probably be right. But if your opponent, you know, goes for a fighting move, assuming that you're going to go for a normal terror on a psychic type, then brother makes reads. Be careful.
That's really interesting, because I mean, like it is a whole other type of play to, in a best of three, completely change up your play style between game one and game two. And that's honestly a thing that I don't think a lot of people think too hard about. Certainly not a thing that people like write down in their little notebook when they're going into a game where they're like, oh, I played very safe game one. Play more aggressively on game two, or try to make more reads on game two. Everyone usually, when like the stress hits without like a good amount of practice, will just be like just default to whatever kind of risk tolerance they're used to playing with.
And the thing is, like, you can play a million games on best of one ladder.
Mm-hmm.
It'll only prepare you for half the best of three games.
Sure.
You know, it's sure. It'll make you really good at game one. Then what? You know, once you get that done, what are you going to do? How are you going to adapt?
Yeah. How quickly can you learn your opponent by game two and either bring out a win or get stomped?
And on top of that, you have to learn how to play with team sheets open. That's a whole different skill that was added. At this point, after playing with team sheets open for competitive battles for about a whole year, I don't ever want them to go away. I actually really like them.
I know, right? I think
it's really good.
Dude, ever since they first came out, I had the best time with it. Just because, like, by virtue, and I know we said this back when we started this as well, but by virtue of just what we do for a living on this channel, where we go and like pull out a whatever team sheet that we have, and we're like, okay, let's look through this team. What can we do? Like half the time we don't know what all of the moves are by the time we actually start the video.
Mm-hmm.
We have gotten very skilled, yes, at looking through our Pokemon's like attack list as quickly as possible and being like, this is the most effective thing to do.
That's a good point. Never thought of that. Which will translate to like looking at your opponent's team sheet and be like, oh, what are they going to do?
100%. Yeah, we can look at that stuff like super quick and be like, okay, this guy's probably going to click Tailwind. Oh, he has Taunt. Got to watch out for that. Yeah. It is a thing. Okay. So that was that. You want to go to Peoria?
No, but
okay.
I'll go to the regional. I don't want to go to Peoria.
We had the Pokemon VGC 2024 Peoria regionals this past weekend October 7th and 8th.
First official regulation e-tournament, too.
Yes.
If you don't count the Beast Coast tournament, but I guess that wasn't official.
Right. But, yes, we had the full tournament happen this weekend. Like, we are recording this, like, hot off the tail of that, actually.
Hours since it finishing. Ended, yeah.
Yeah. I did get a chance to watch a lot of it. I love what production is doing. I love
they're stepping it up a lot.
Yeah.
They're really stepping it up. They have like segments now to fill the time gaps. Mm-hmm. It's not just two, as much as I love the casters, it's not just two casters randomly banding about things for half an hour waiting for the games to finish. They actually have segments to watch is what made it interesting too.
Mm-hmm. So big ups to the people involved in the broadcast, involving all of the cast and crew, but you know, notably people on screen, Rosemary Kelly, Joe Brown, Gabby Snyder, Scott Glaza, and Sierra Hunter. You guys did great as always, providing live commentary. Very interesting result in this one. James Beck ended up taking it.
Hey.
There we go. Very nice, James Beck.
Fellow YouTuber
James
send,
Beck.
Send James some PokeSports love. Tell him we
That's
sent
right.
you.
That's right. We have the top eight players in this tournament, that being Leonard Kraft, the third, Riley Factura, Jinsi Zhu, Justin Knox, Jeremy Parson, Xiliang Tang, Luca Traget, and James Beck, of course. I love the prizing for this. This is like one of
this
the
is money.
First time. Yeah, this is actually money.
This is money.
Top 16. Ended up with $750.
Yeah, that's your flight back home.
That's your flight back home. That's in, for some people, there. Your flight there and back. Yeah.
That's the hotel room for that whole weekend and more.
Could be. Yeah.
That's your lunch if you eat that much.
Not to mention the ADCP that everybody got.
Top 16.
That's pretty great. Top 16. Yep.
And if you scroll down to top 128, mm-hmm. got 40.
Yeah.
So 128 is getting CP with only about 400 registrants. That's pretty good.
That's really great. Top eight ended up with $1,000 and 100 CP. So now we're talking like the flight and the hotel. We're talking room and board.
We're getting world's points here. Like you're in contention already.
You're getting there. Top four ended up with $2,000 and 130. So now we're talking room and board and a real nice steak.
Wagyu.
Now, when the Wagyu is reserved for second place, Luca Traget, who ended up with $4,000 and 160 CP.
Not bad.
So now we're talking, yes, room, board, a nice Wagyu steak. Maybe like, I don't know, buying a couple drinks for the rest of the crew.
Golden flakes on the steak.
Golden flakes. That's right. And then James Beck, who ended up with 200 CP. And $6,000.
Elon Musk, watch out. James Beck is on the way.
Are you saying that $6,000 is Tesla money?
I guess. I don't know. That's a down payment on Tesla.
That's fair. Have you ever looked that up? Is that true? Probably not. Probably need a little bit more than that.
Just with another regional, James, you'll be fine. And you can get your Tesla.
You're on your way. You are on your way to that Tesla. Why? Why is that the one? All right. Let's talk about the top four teams and give some honorable mentions to some of the interesting Pokemon in this one. In fourth was Jeremy Parson, who came in with a King Gambit, Fluttermane, Iron Hands, Wellspring, Ogerpon, Landorus, Therion, and Chiyu. What do you think of this team?
Bro, that's just a good team.
That's just a good team.
It's just such a good team. Like, you can't look at any of those six Pokemon and be like, yeah, but a better one would be good in this spot. No.
Right.
Those are the best ones in those spots.
You found them. Congratulations.
What I will say is that the King Gambit does feel like it's making a little bit of a resurgence. I feel like King Gambit fell off really hard in Regulation D. It was very popular at Worlds. No, it was really popular in Regulation C, but fell off at Worlds. And now it's like people are remembering, oh, hey, maybe Black Glasses / Dread Plate plus Swords Dance and Sucker Punch is very good.
Not to mention Supreme Overlord. or Defiant.
Yeah, you could do either one.
Yeah. Probably Defiant, actually, now that I think about it. But interesting, yeah. Interesting that this team with these six Pokemon specifically was actually, let's see, 5 out of 6 of the top 12 Pokemon in day 2.
Shocker.
Shocker.
Wow.
The only difference in this ragtag group here is that King Gambit comes in at number 8. But everything okay. else is way up there. Xiliang Tang came in 3rd place with Iron Bundle, Rillaboom, Ogerpon, Hearthflame Mask, Iron Hands, Landorus Therian, and Heatran. First Heatran that I've said among the two, but Heatran actually only shows up in this team in the top 4.
I mean, Heatran, that's a good Pokemon to switch into an Ivy Cudgel from a Fire Ogerpon. That's
this
for sure.
This is true.
The other thing that's interesting with this team is that the Fire Grass Water Core is the Bundle, Rillaboom, and Fire Ogerpon.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Rillaboom plus Fire Ogerpon is like really good with Grassy Glide too.
Sure.
Like, it's yeah. so good. Like, and the thing is, you might be initially off put by saying, hey, I have 2 grass types on my team now. Whatever. I don't like duplicating my typings. You just Fire Terra, and then you technically don't have a grass type. You just got a free +1, and now you have a +1 Grassy Glide that still gets Grass Stab.
Yeah.
It's too much.
It's huge. The only thing that's a little scary here is the lack of, not even the lack of, but the coverage against Wellspring Ogerpon. Right, because you bring in the Wellspring Ogerpon. I guess you can hit it with grassy glides. You can take it out like that. You can bring in your Iron Hands, but that thing,
the Bundle Freeze Dry though, is 4 times effective.
That is true
against the regular one. So there's an option there.
Mm-hmm.
That might be it though. I mean, the scariest thing about this team is just Hydro Pump. That's the scariest thing about this team.
Sure.
Other than that, I mean, everything's super solid. Iron Hands is just like running amok, dude, yeah. in the current meta.
Yeah. We're going to get into this later, but Iron Hands is currently sitting at number 3 in the top 12 Pokemon brought in on day 2.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Too much.
All right. Luca Traget brought a Landorus Therian, Hearthflame, Ogerpon, Fluttermane, Tornadus, King Gambit. That's the second one. And Water Urshifu, what Urshifu?
Okay, so I mean, I feel like a couple people overlooked Water Urshifu because they got their fun new Ogerpons to play with.
Right.
But there's a lot of Water Urshifu that show up in top 8. There's 4 of the top 8. Half of all of top 8 has a Water Urshifu on their team. And both players in 1st and 2nd place have a Water Urshifu on their team. Critting all the time and breaking through Protect is pretty darn good. It's really, really hard to find a better Pokemon than that.
Especially when one of those Pokemon that hits Protect all the time has a Spiky Shield. That being Ogerpon, like, that goes through Spiky Shield as well.
Yeah, yeah.
It's huge. It is fun to see, though, that although there are, like, by and large, way more Surging Strike, Rapid Strike Urshifus, you do see some Single Strike Urshifus sprinkled in here and there.
Yeah, farther down the list.
Yeah, it's nice to see that both of them are getting pretty decent representation. I mean, one could say that it's not great that they're getting representation at all, but hey, here we are.
They're still behind the paywall in another game.
And then the number 1 player, James Beck, went in with a Wellspring Ogerpon, a Hisuian Arcanine, a Goldingo, Tornadus, Iron Hands, and Rapid Strike Urshifu.
Double fighting types, double water types. That's just how good water type Urshifu is.
Yeah.
Our friend James had a Wellspring Ogerpon on the team, had a fighting type in the Iron Hands, and still brought Urshifu.
Yep.
He had both those types covered. He's like, I still want it here. And you know what? It won them the day.
Right. And I mean, this just goes to show how good Goldingo is still. After all this time, Goldingo is still just sitting there on top in terms of placement is in tournaments. You see it happen so often where, you know, nobody goes and brings Golden Go anymore, and yet somehow it keeps winning tournaments. Golden Go was brought 7.81% in all of these teams in the top 128.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Now, here's some interesting stats for you. I have the usage stats for the top 128, and I have the top 12 Pokemon for overall. Okay. Interestingly enough, let's see. Top 12 Pokemon for day two. We're looking at, you know, I'll just say the top five here. We've got Landorus, Fluttermane, Iron Hands, Wellspring Ogerpon, and Rillaboom.
Okay, I guess tied with Rillaboom is Hearthflame Ogerpon, but yes.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, the exact same. But then in the top six overall, oh, actually, it flips, right? The top used Pokemon is still Iron Hands.
Yeah.
And then Landorus. And then Fluttermane. So Fluttermane dropping to three down there. Yeah.
Pretty much backwards. Yeah. That's crazy.
It's all backwards. Then you get into Hearthflame and Wellspring. And
those took a flip. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Although they're very good, it looks like more people did better with Hearthflame.
Mm-hmm.
More people brought Wellspring on day two. Is that what that means? Am I saying it backwards?
More people brought Wellspring on day two.
Yes. So that did a lot better than Hearthflame in general, because there were more players with Hearthflame on their teams, but less people in day two with Hearthflame.
Right. And I think we were saying that slowly because we didn't want to get that wrong. Because it's tough. That's a tough metric to look between when two Pokemon are switched like that. Mm-hmm. I think this means that people who are closer to the win ended up bringing a Wellspring Ogerpon. And I mean, this is totally evident with James, who ended up winning, bringing up a Wellspring Ogerpon, right?
The thing, too, is, well, I feel like with Wellspring Ogerpon, it takes a certain kind of skill. I was going to say intelligence, but skill is a nicer word for it. I think that it's very easy for a player to default into hyper offensive, to default into ooga booga, I do more damage, I hurt you now, than it is for ooga booga, I'm going to have more special defense and have better calcs for taking your hits, but still do more damage to you.
Right.
And I feel like with Wellspring, you kind of just have a better defensive typing. You have a better defensive ability. And also, you can play mind games with follow me and then sending the Rapid Strike Urshifu into your water absorb over and over.
These two Pokemon are kind of what I was hoping that Zacian and Zamazenta would be in the previous generation.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem that Zacian and Zamazenta had was they were both built offensively, and one of them just got more offensive when you brought it out. Right? Zamazenta was built to be the defensive one, but all of its kit was to be more offensive. And it's like, why? Versus Hearthflame and Wellspring, you know, you send those guys out, they get their plus one in their respective stats, and then they turn into this like this differently oppressive set of Pokemon because of their typing is just so hard coded to be different parts of a core.
Mm-hmm. And the thing that makes these two stand out specifically, and why we're probably not seeing Cornerstone on this list too much, is that for ever since Pokemon was created, the Grass, Water, Fire core, since you first cracked open the game, was the most, I guess, notable and probably one of the best cores that is in competitive Pokemon. They each just cover each other's weaknesses very well. By having the Wellspring Ogerpon, your Grass and Water, that's two out of the three of your Grass, Water, Fire core. By having the Hearthflame, that's Fire and Grass, that's two out of the three of your Grass, Water, Fire core. You just got to stick another Pokemon there, and then you just have this extra slot on your team that you could just throw any Pokemon in there.
Yeah.
You have extra coverage that you don't have to have elsewhere.
Absolutely. Let's keep going down this list. I like these usage stats, the overall ones. So after the first five, after Wellspring Ogerpon, then we've got Rilla Boom coming in at 25% of the time, which is pretty good. I love seeing Rillaboom in this meta. I think, again, with Ogerpon, like you were saying, dropping the grassy terrain, having, grassy glide, do that extra damage, it being stab as well is huge.
Yeah, Rillaboom was really good in regulation D. So now that it has grassy glide and access to priority, it's just going to get even better.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely. Even better. Mm-hmm.
Moving on, we've got Water Shifu and Chen Pao sitting at 21.8%. I love seeing Chen Pao. It's obvious that Chen Pao is going to be in there with such a big presence. With,
look how many physical attackers you have here in the top five.
All of them.
10. All of them except for Flutterman.
Yeah.
That's it. They're all physical. We're in a very physical meta. If you guys are sitting there wondering, should I build more defensively or special defensively? Take the hint.
yeah. And if it wasn't obvious enough, look at Landorus, right? In some places it's number one, in other places it's number two, but it's because it has this intimidate. And in spite of having intimidate, there's still all of these other physical Pokemon in here because there's so many things that can just take it out, like regardless. After that, you've got Chiyu, and interesting to see Chiyu making such a resurgence as well, because that was kind of starting to fall off as well.
Mm-hmm. I think the thing with Chiyu is that it's really hard to make that Pokemon bad. It's just very good overall. And if you're running a Wellspring Ogerpon, Chiyu is a really good it's a really good fire type to that grass water fire.
Yeah, it is really important. Like I feel like people kind of discount the importance of having a core on their
really
team.
It's really important. Unless you have weather, it's really important. Weather can kind of let you play around that, but
that's true.
Like if you don't need a water type on a sun team. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Underneath that, then you've got Tornadus. Tornadus used to be in the top three.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That one has fallen off quite a bit.
Now people are using Illumise for some reason.
Yeah. You know what? Let's get into some of the shout outs there. Because that's one of them.
You know what my problem with Tornadus is, though? And I guess Illumise might have the same problem. Is that once you set Tailwind, what do? You miss Bleak Wind Storms for four turns? Like, that's essentially what you do.
Yeah. And you know what? You deserve that because you set Tailwind. Congratulations. You now get to miss Bleak Wind Storms. Let's get into some of the honorable mentions among the teams here. I want to start off here with Carson Comfer, who came 14th, but brought an Illumise or an Illumise, depending on who you are, on their team.
Depending on whether or not you celebrate Thanksgiving today.
The Canadians call it Illumise.
I'm currently just looking at Pikalix to see if it's even here. Oh, it is 0.71% usage. We got Tailwind, Encore, Helping Hand, Thunder Wave. Okay.
Oh.
Charm, Fake Tears. Oh, this is just budget Whimsicott.
Yeah.
This is Whimsicott at home. It's Whimsicott at home. Okay.
So I guess you bring that sometimes beside like a Fluttermane?
Yeah, it's Fake Tears.
Fake Tears.
Yeah.
Fake Tears, Dazzling Gleam, Fake Tears, Moonblast. KO, whatever you need to KO.
Pretty much. I mean, you got Tailwind, you got Helping Hand, you have Encore. Do you really need any other move? You're done.
I mean, away against Taunt?
Struggle Bug.
Oh. But it's that's actually silly.
No, it's a Struggle Bug gives you a -2. It's a spread -2 special attack to both Pokemon on your opposing side of the field.
Wait, Struggle Bug is -2? I thought it was -1.
Oh, -1, yeah.
Oh, okay. But
it goes on two Pokemon.
Gives -2 to the field. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's net gain of -2.
Net gain of -2. But it must use like a covert cloak or a mental herb or something like that.
Let's
right?
see what
no, you're saying are. Focus Sash, right?
Yeah, you could either do Focus Sash. I guess covert cloak wouldn't be awful. I could see that being good.
Yeah, you don't want that thing getting flunched.
You fling it, then eat it for lunch. You get flunched.
Yeah, you get flunched.
Here's what I'm confused about. Why the heck are there three star raptors here? Like, who died and decided star raptor is going to be played in Peoria? Like, we're trying to match the pigeons on the street. Like,
why is it sitting in 10th?
Yeah, it made it there. I mean, I get it. It gets like Intimidate and Final Gambit, but that's it.
Mm. No one's ready for Staraptor.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Not a fan.
There was one other. Oh, yeah. Justin Knox, who came in 5th, like one off of the top four here, came in with a Urshifu Rapid Strike. Okay. Normal. Hearthflame Ogre Pond. Okay. Great. Blood Moon Ursaluna. All right. There it is. Ooh, I haven't seen that in this whole tournament. Okie Dokie. Oh.
Extra respect.
Mm. And Clefairy. We found the Clefairy. I've been waiting for Clefairy to be in this meta for a very long time. I was wondering what it was going to do when it got here.
I'm surprised that more people aren't playing it, because every time I play against it, I'm a little sad on the inside.
Really?
It's annoying, man. Especially, have you played Clefairy next to Komo-o? That's really, really annoying.
I haven't. Tell me about that.
It just helps you so much with the livability when it comes to your Clangorosaur. Because, you know, when you go for the Clangorosaur, you lose 33% HP. Yeah. So the Friend Guard is a 25% buffer. So in theory, you only really lose whatever.
Really?
8%.
Really?
Yeah, Friend Guard reduces all damage that you receive by 25%.
What?
Friend Guard's good, dude.
That's huge.
That's why people play Clefairy and not Clefable.
Are you serious? That can't be right.
Now you're making me doubt myself, but I'm pretty sure my brain checks out here. Clefairy, Friend Guard. Why does it just say reduces damage to allies? Hold on, I need a number. Let me go on Showdown.
I believe in you. You can do this.
I'll get there. I updated my computer. It's faster now. Friend Guard. Pokemon's allies receive 3/4 of the damage from other Pokemon's attack. Yeah, it's a 25% buffer.
Other Pokemon's attacks.
Yeah.
Okay.
You take 25% less damage.
Make one.
Make an attack?
Make Friend Guard Clefairy right now.
Oh.
Go make Clangor's Soul. Challenge me.
I'm not that fast.
Because I think what is going to happen is that you are going to take 25% less of that 33%. So if that 33% was 100 damage, you would only take 75 damage. That is what I
think. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
No.
What do you think I'm saying?
You said 8%, that you would only take 8% of your HP.
In theory.
What do you mean in theory? That's
because
incorrect.
Because you lose 33, so you have a buffer of 25. There's a 25% less chance you're going to get to zero is what I'm trying to say.
25% less chance that you're going to get to zero. So where did that 8% you said come in?
Because that's the net difference. Because you have a 25% buffer. So if you never lost any HP at all,
yeah,
you'd technically have a 25% buffer. You'd have 125% HP.
Oh, wow.
Minus 33%. There's only an 8% differential that you'd have there instead. This makes no sense, but do you understand what I mean?
I do now. Because I looked into it and I was like, 25% of 33% is about 8%.
All right, yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So instead, you're actually just going to take 25. It's just that it happens to line up with the same answer of 33 minus 25. And I'm
it make you take less damage when you're at low.
It make you take less damage. I was about to make you make a team and challenge me now.
I would have just gone to one of our videos and found a Coma Oat team. Click, click, click.
Yeah. So you take a little bit less damage from Clangorous Soul. Okay. Interesting. I want to know if that's actually what happens, though. I'm really curious. No,
damage, but because you have 25% more less chance to get hit by something, you have a higher chance of living that next hit.
I see.
Your 33% is effectively only, you know, more.
Okay, so you still take the full 33%, yeah?
Yes, yes, yeah. That full 33 is still taken. Okay.
We made it. We made it.
Incredible!
So yeah, those are pretty good.
Yeah. So yeah, this is pretty good, I guess. Yeah, Clefairy's fun. I saw a lot of Sinistras.
Good.
There were 13 in this entire tournament, 10% of which brought Sinistras.
I used to hate Sinistra, then I started playing it. Now I love Sinistra.
Really?
Weird. Weird how that happens.
Weird how that happens, yeah. Matcha Gacha is pretty fun.
Brother, it's not even Matcha Gacha. Have you played Sinistra with Sap Sipper? It's just funny.
No.
Sap Sipper
instead of hospitality?
No. Sap Sipper is not
strength
the word.
Strength Sap?
That one. Yeah.
Ah.
Strength Sap. Yeah, that one's fun. Especially since we just talked about how the top 10 Pokemon are pretty much all physical.
Right.
Strength Sap, you just pretty much always have full HP.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, negative one, mine. Negative one, mine. Negative one, mine.
Yeah, Strength Sap's HP gain is nuts.
I don't know what the calculation for that is, but it needs to be looked at again. Like that, it's not okay that if a Pokemon's negative three and I'm still getting full HP from a Strength Sap.
Right.
It's a little ridiculous. It's a little overkill, but you can effectively go from zero HP to max HP if the Pokemon that you're Strength Sapping has an actual attack stat.
Right. The calculations are kind of nuts. Like strength, it says here, Strength Sap lowers the target's attack by one stage and restores the user's HP by the same amount as the target's effective attack stat before Strength Sap was used.
So if the Pokemon, for example, is a I don't know, what's a Pokemon with a high attack stat?
Chen Pao.
That's even higher. No, Landorus is even higher if you want to do Landorus.
Right.
Landorus effectively can have 265 at level 50 minimum. So that you're just getting 265 raw HP back.
Cut that in half. Yeah.
Oh, by divided by two. Okay.
That's no. Still wait too a minute. Much. Target's effective attack stat before strength stat was used. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's the whole thing. Yeah, you get 265 HP.
That's insane.
That is so dumb. It makes sense why no Pokemon learns Strength Sap.
Wow. What was the other Pokemon that like really benefited from Strength Sap?
Drifblim, baby.
Drifblim. Yeah. I remember that.
Jellicent has it too, but Jellicent's not in the game.
Right.
But it's an option.
Well, I'll tell you the Pokemon that can get it. We've got Corsola, Drifblim, Shinotic, Poltegeist and Sinistra, Cursola. Vileplume.
Yes. As you can see, not many Pokemon get it.
Arbeliva, Bramblin, Victory Bell.
Oh boy.
Are you seeing a pattern here? The Pokemon that get it are not very good, except for Bramblin.
And now that Sinistra has it, we have a problem. The fact is, it gets Trick Room, it gets Redirection, it gets a Healy move, it gets a Healy ability, and it has Strength Sap. They really tried to make this Pokemon good.
Yeah, they made a bet internally. They were like, can we make a grass Pokemon that is like really worth it?
Can we replace Amoongus was their try.
Yeah, exactly.
All they needed was to give this Pokemon Spore, and that would have gone far beyond the top.
Yeah.
It's over.
I think it's hilarious that they gave it Matcha Gacha.
I think it's hilarious that's a move name.
Yeah. Yeah. Matcha Gacha heals up to half of the damage dealt, and it hits both Pokemon. It's a spread move.
Yeah. And it also has a chance to burn.
HP from two Pokemon. And it has a chance to burn.
They got rid of Scald to put in Matcha Gacha.
Interesting. If the target has the ability Liquid Ooze, the user will lose the amount of HP it would have gained instead.
Really?
I want to know how that works when one Pokemon has Liquid Ooze and the other doesn't.
Oh, well, good news for us. Mm. If we ever want to run Tentacruel or Swallet, we can counter the Sinistras.
Yes. Yes.
I can't wait to whip out my six IV Swallet from Pokemon.
Oh, hey, can I give you a pro tip?
Sure.
If you ever happen to freeze a Pokemon, which, you know, happens sometimes, right? You toss out your Alolan Ninetales. You hit your Blizzards with your Iron Bundle from your Ice team, right? Matcha Gacha does thaw.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Same way that Scald does. Okay.
Yep.
Speaking of Alolan Ninetales, Alolan Ninetales is like pretty darn good on any team, dude.
Sure.
It's like having a free screens right away pretty much guaranteed, because there isn't much weather wars happening right now. Like, I guess you have Tornadus that can carry a Rain Dance or a stray Torkoal running around. But Ninetales with Aurora Veil and you light clay that thing right away, it's scary. And you know what else? I've played against Ninetales where I'm using a steel type move against it, four times effective, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the snow buff to its defense, it lives.
Yes. Snow buff plus Aurora Veil, that thing's going to live.
Yeah. Even four times effective. That's crazy.
Wow. Interesting. In Peoria, Alolan Ninetales and Torkoal were both brought in the same frequency.
Ooh, Weather Wars.
Yeah. They were both brought as often as Golden Go, which ended up winning.
I'm surprised not a lot of Politoads are really popping off. Like, there's like no rain at all.
Not a single Politoed.
In top 128.
Top 128.
Yeah, rain fell off hard, dude.
Oops.
Rip. Maybe next time.
Well, because what benefits do you have right now for bringing rain?
I guess just Ogre Pond damage.
Ogre Pond damage, Urshifu damage.
Yeah.
The Bleak Wind Storm hits more. So that's nice, I guess. You can build an offensive Tornadus if you really want to.
It's just sun. The fact that I'm seeing sun without rain is what's feeling weird to me. Because you always have sun and rain fighting for supremacy, but now you got snow out of nowhere. Just like, hey, I'm here now. I'm a weather.
You don't even get sand anymore. Isn't that something?
Yeah, until they create another sand setter that isn't Titar. I feel like it's hard for me to say this, but I think honestly, Titar finally got power crept. Because Titar was a good Pokemon for a very long time. And it's like a Gen 2 mon that really tried to stand the test of time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it finally got power crept.
I mean, are they ever going to go and create a better Sandstream user, right? Like, Tyranitar is one of three, right? It's Tyranitar, Hippowdon, and Gigalith.
Yeah, it's the best one currently.
You keep saying currently like they're going to make another.
Brother, they made another Sunsetter. You didn't think they were going to do that. Ooh, they got Koridon now.
That's true.
Got Koridon, Groudon, Torkoal, Ninetales. So,
is that going to be like your third legendary Pokemon gun kind of thing?
Yes.
Okay. That's what everyone assumes the third legendary is going to be. If anybody doesn't remember, back in Sword and Shield.
What if Terapagos just gets Sandstream?
But it's like super Sandstream. Like, it also gets a big boost. You know what? What if we just called it?
Terapagos is just a rock type, guys. It Why are we just a rock type?
That thing could be rock dragon.
It's literally crystal.
Yeah.
It is Terapagos. Terra means ground.
They did it to Diancie. Oh no, did we just call it? Is it rock dragon?
Rock like, lobster?
Caridon is fighting dragon, right? Yes. Maridon is electric dragon. Terrapagos, calling it right now, rock dragon. It'll get Super Sand Stream.
Super Sand Stream just turns off every other ability, other weather, no matter what.
It turns on the sand. It ends terrain, and it gets a boost.
It also clears Tailwind. It clears mm-hmm. everything off. Hey, is it any coincidence that there are not one, but two deserts in Paldea?
There are two deserts in Paldea. Yeah, that's true.
One on the left and the one on the right. It's like Dry Diasato place, and the other one. Yeah.
Probably wasn't before, and then something happened. Uh-oh. Big old hole in the middle. Someone donutted it.
So yeah, that's Peoria.
That's Peoria. There's an update for Pokemon Sleep. The Pokemon Sleep Autumn Treats bundle is now live.
If you're learning about this from us, you're 2 days too late. So did you hear about this or no?
I haven't. I'm just learning about this right now.
Have you stopped playing Sleep, Big Sad?
I've stopped sleeping.
Oh, okay, fair. That's normal.
Yeah.
So what's cool about this is that they're handing out free bundles, which is kind of cool.
Sure.
So first time they're handing out free bundles. What that means is you either have the option of getting a free bundle every single day for a whole week, which includes two ingredient tickets and also some Pokeballs. So Pokeballs are pretty expensive in this game. I'll take that for free. And also they're having a super cheap version of this Autumn Treats bundle with Great Balls instead and medium ingredient tickets.
That's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to keep on just saying words while I go and take mine. There we go. And got it.
Oh, they're available already?
No.
Yeah, I think it starts at 4 a.m. Sunday. Aww. So 4 a.m. Monday morning. Yeah.
No, actually, what I have forgotten to do is log in and get my research community stuff. Like, get my hearts with people, because I'm starting to get like people at level 3, and that's cool because I get a lot of linking cords.
Brother, I have like 50 linking cords. I don't know what to do with them.
I wish they didn't do that. So in Pokemon Sleep, the more friendship you have with people when you share your daily activity or whatever, you get a higher friendship level a la Pokemon Go. Mm-hmm. Right. For the first one, you get, I believe, a handy candy.
Yeah.
For the second one, you get something else that's
ingredient
useful.
Ingredient tickets.
Ingredient tickets. Yes, that one's like super useful. Mm. Like, wow, 10 ingredients. That's great. For the third one, you get a linking cable, which is nice for the first like three. But when you have a friends list of 50 friends, you're getting 50 link cables.
But here's my problem.
You need one to evolve.
The bigger issue is that we can't sell them for anything.
No.
You can only discard them. I wish I could sell them for even one diamond. Like, give me a diamond. I'll take 50 diamonds for free.
For real. Honestly. Now, I mean, I am super curious what the fourth one will be.
It's ingredient M.
Ingredient M?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Mm, you're already level 4 with people?
Just Bruno.
Oh, yeah, fair.
So I've seen Bruno's... Him and I are both too addicted to this game is the problem.
Sure.
I think Ingredient M gives 20 or 25, something like that, ingredients. And then Handy Candy M is level 5, and then that's the last level.
Wow, okay.
And that's 20 each.
That's super helpful, yeah.
I got a Handy Candy L. I learned that exists from my monthly, you know, like every month, if you have the premium subscription, you get a free gift.
Yeah.
They gave me Handy Candy L. That gives you 100 candies for any Pokemon you choose.
That's too much.
That's so good. So much better than medium and small.
So this is how people end up getting to like level 50, level 75 kind of thing with all these level, you know, things. What they probably do is whenever they get to level 5 friendship with people, they dump them. They just get Start rid over. Of their friends. Time for over. New friends.
Time for some new friends. Time to start the cycle over.
I bet at that point, if you keep on sharing your stuff with them, it just keeps getting like you're level 5 or whatever.
It might even start over. Prestige. Yeah. You prestige it.
Ooh. Honorable mentions. But yeah, so there's that. Oh, we have Q&A that I can pull up.
Also,
yeah.
Kid Akami Prologue happened.
Yes.
Ryota Otsubo, former world champion, won the whole thing. 1896.290 was his rating. Came in with a Rabombi, though.
How do you do it? How do you do that with a Rabombi?
Rabombi, well, I mean, the dex is kind of condensed, but Rabombi, King Gambit, Assault Vested Komo-O, Bascule Legion, a Silk Scarf, Blood Moon Ursaluna, and a Choice Scarfed Politoed.
Well, there's your Politoed.
Yeah, I found it in Kitsukami Prologue.
You were wondering how Politoed does it. That's how Politoed does it.
It's just, you gotta scarf it.
Sets up Drizzle and lets Bascule Legion like destroy everything.
Ryuta probably just did just that most of the time.
Probably. I don't know.
I want to just... He doesn't have to show me anyone else's set. I just want to know Rabombi's set.
Yeah. Show me the Rabombi.
What did it do?
What does Rabombi even do? If I go over to Picoletics and I type in Rabombi. Yeah, we've got another Tailwind user. Tailwind, Pollen Puff, Sticky Web, and Protect.
Okay. Tailwind, okay. Well, then use Illumise.
Yeah.
Water Terra. What ability does it get? Like, there has to be a reason to use this.
All right, let's all learn about Rabombi real quick.
I mean, at this point, we've learned about so many Pokemon today.
It's
that
got
are very
Honey
useful.
Gather, Honey Gather, Shield Dust, or Sweet Veil.
Okay, Sweet Veil stops you and your allies from falling asleep. That's pretty good.
Shield Dust protects the Pokemon from additional effects of moves.
Interesting.
So it's like a free covert cloak.
Honey Gather is really good in competitive. Wow.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Gathers honey?
It says Honey Gather has no effect in battle. Ah.
Yes, of course.
The best one.
Yes, of course. Very good. Wonderful, wonderful. Okay. Well, that's Kid Akami Prologue.
Yay.
I'm sure people had fun. If you had a team that you did particularly well in Kid Akami Prologue, do let us know in this week's Q&A. Feel free to hijack whatever question I ask and instead tell me what your Kid Akami Prologue was like. Meanwhile, I did ask last week, if you could design your own Pokemon move or ability for competitive play, what would it be and how would it work?
Ooh.
Yes. Swift XYZ says extra energy when using a chargeable move, solar beam, sky attack, etc. The attack has priority during the actual attack part. If charge time is null, priority still applies. So if you have like a what's the thing that makes your two turn moves one turn?
Power herb.
Yeah. That gives that priority. That's kind of cool.
So the first thing has priority, but not the second thing? Maybe.
Ooh. Well, so they're suggesting during the actual attack part. So like on turn one, if I'm using Solar Beam and there's no sun up, then that does not have priority. But then the actual attack on the next turn does have priority.
What if the sun is up? Do you just
then
get priority?
The whole thing has priority.
You want priority solar beam, sir?
I mean,
that's scary.
I guess if you're using up a whole slot and a whole weather,
okay,
just to accomplish that, maybe it's worth it.
It's managed by how difficult it is to until you tell me that you can do priority focus punches.
Sure. But is focus punches problem that it takes two turns?
No. Its problem is that if you get hit during those two turns.
Right.
It stops focusing.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know. Like, I feel like all these these two turn moves, like, they don't get a lot of love.
That's fair.
They don't. There's so some. I don't know. Yeah, I think there's something there.
Meteor beam.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, power or meteor beam. That would then have you get the plus one and priority plus one plus attack. Yikes. That sounds like fun.
Once.
I mean, that's, do you need anything
one
else?
Good shot. One could say that, like, right now, you know, more often than not, those Pokemon do outspeed.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's see. Do. Matthew says Earthworm, just Earthworm. Oh. But then they also say, listening to your podcasts makes me so happy, so thank you. And that made me happy, so I decided to read that whole thing out. Let's see. Jobo says, fix snow. At least put it on par with Sandstorm and deal damage. Oh. Poor ice types need a boost.
Would you consider this generation not to be a fix on snow? I think they did a really good job with snow.
I do think that snow is fixed. Yeah.
Do you think that it needs to do damage?
I don't, actually.
I think it's nice having a sashed Pokemon on a team and not losing it.
Yeah.
While also being in a snow. Yeah.
I think they buffed so many of Snow's, like, ice-type moves that, like, the Blizzard always landing thing alone is
really nice.
Like, so huge. Like, imagine
Rock Slide always landing.
Right, exactly. Imagine Rock Slide
immediately.
Right? Rock Slide was a sure hit, but, like, didn't flinch or something. But, like, Sandstorm didn't do damage, I guess. Like, yeah. The trade-off is there. I think there's a pretty big trade-off in
Blizzard. I think also 50% boost to defense is a lot more meaningful than 50% boost to special defense.
Mm.
In my opinion, competitively speaking, physical moves are always the ones that hit harder.
Sure. Oh, Raven says, let's see, a set of moves that do more damage when certain stats are lowered. An ability that removes negative effects when the user does a move that does something to allies. Dual-typed moves? Oh.
Lash Out is a thing that does that. When you get negative one, you get double damage with Lash Out.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. That's something.
King Gambit gets it now.
Oh, do people use that?
I've seen King it. Okay. Yeah, I mean, most people still just go Kotal Cleave.
Right.
But yeah, Lash Out's a new thing that you could do, especially if you plan on getting intimidated. You get the plus one Defiant plus the double boosted Lash Out dark damage. Hurts.
Wow. Yuck.
Yeah.
Sounds
plus
terrible.
Black Glasses plus Dark Terror plus R.
Right. And then dual typed moves. I feel like
Flying Press,
yes.
It's the only one that currently is, yeah.
Well, I was going to say Freeze Dry, actually.
Oh, that's right. Freeze Dry is technically one.
Mm-hmm.
But only, no, well, Freeze Dry isn't a dual type move. It's an ice type move that also hurts water types.
Like ice plus.
Yeah. Flying press is actually good one, yeah. It does flying type and fighting type damage at the same time.
Athena Age, I think, is the way to pronounce that. Says my move would be called Soapbox, a normal type physical move where the Pokemon hops on a box and makes loud noise, trapping an opponent in for 2 to 3 turns. Has a 50% chance of confusion. Ooh, so it's like, what's the bug one that traps a Pokemon in?
Infestation.
Yeah. But
I've been using that on Diplin lately.
Has confusion. You've been using it with Diplin or on Diplins?
With Diplin.
Oh, wow.
That's the only good thing it does.
That's terrible that it has infestation. The lore implications on that alone.
It's infested with bugs. Apple.
Poor guy. An ability that sets Trick Room.
Oh.
Says two scoops Bry.
Oh, no.
Mm.
That's terrifying.
They suggested we call it Yorgi Schmorgi or something. And you know what? Okay, I'm down. Let's go.
Is the Pokemon Mike called Yorgi Smorgi? Or no, is that the yeah. move?
The ability is called Yorgi Smorgi.
Yorgi Smorgi.
Ow, I just hurt myself. Let's see. How about a single-use item that sets terrain when a move of the corresponding type is used? Surge abilities are too limited and manual setting sucks. It's a Roboom and Didi mechanic right now. I mean, that is true. It is true that like there are very few Pokemon that can you know, set terrain.
I think we just need better setters too, though.
Yeah.
We pretty much have the Tapus and the Galarian Tapus.
Galarian Tapus.
That's all we got. It's got Pincushion, Rillaboom, Indeedee, and Galarian Weezing. The Galarian Tapus.
I'm looking for another good one. There are a lot of good ones in this one. This question, people went hard. Let's see. I think an ability is basically the opposite of Prankster, where your attacking moves get plus one priority would be interesting. Oh boy. Would have to be on the right Pokemon and not too broken. Yeah. Like you would enable some really bad Pokemon by giving all of their attacking moves priority. But you'd have to be very careful on who you gave that to, because that's really good. It's really, really good.
What about Inverse Wonder Guard? You only take damage from the types that you're super effective against.
How do you say what you're super effective against?
If you're it a looks bug at your ghost moves? Type, for example. No, if you're a bug ghost type, you have super effectivenesses. You're strong against other ghosts. You're strong against.
But what if I don't run grass? Any bug moves?
That's your problem. That's what you're weak to, though. You become weak to the types you're good against. That's how they do damage to you.
Okay. I'm following you. I just.
Okay. So hear me out.
Yeah.
Shedinja.
Yeah.
Wonder Guard.
Mm-hmm.
Can only get hit by Pokemon it's super effective against instead of Pokemon it's weak to.
But a Pokemon isn't super effective against anything. A Pokemon's moves are super effective against things. So this is assuming that I'm running attacking moves at all.
Ghosts are super effective against ghosts. Ghosts are super effective
ghost against... Ghost moves are super effective against ghosts.
But if you're a ghost Pokemon.
Yeah. Well, now you're just talking about Wonder Guard.
I give up. That's why I didn't answer the Q&A. That's fair.
Ultra Beast Pro says, move, like clockwork. Steel status, 80 accuracy. Okay, wow. The first person so far to add accuracy to this. The user swaps stat buffs and drops with every Pokemon in a clockwise rotation. Oh. Left, then opponents right, etc. Yeah. So if it's in singles, then it's just a clear swap. But if it's in doubles, it's everything moves over.
You'd have to make sure you have that Pokemon on the correct left or right on the board state. Because typically you have that option of choosing left or right, but it never actually matters.
It has never mattered until this move.
Because if you want to pass it to yourself, you'd have to be on the right spot. But if you want to get it passed to you or taken from your opponent, you want to be on the left spot, use the move, and then have your adjacent Pokemon.
Yeah.
Time wizard.
Time wizard. All right. Luke says, hey guys, I've been listening for a month now and look forward to it every week. Pretty standard request for VGC nerds like me, probably you guys too, but a special intimidate ability would be fire.
Yeah, I agree. They made an intimidate evasion before they made a special intimidate, which is
that
kind of
was
crazy.
Really interesting that they did that. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't think they'd make that play, but
no.
Fine.
No. It's fine. They'll give it to Terapagos or something, the rock dragon.
It's also added on to the Sandstream debuffing event.
Man, that thing does too much. Oh, we got to do something about that thing. Ian says, I'd like a special version of Intimidate. There it is. I'd also like snow to do damage like sand. Wow. And both of these to increase their respective types of attacks like sun and rain and bring back frostbite. Ian has successfully just summarized three people's answers.
Ian, did you read everyone else's answers before posting?
I hadn't published any of them, so there was no way.
Oh, hive mind, collective brain.
Ooh, Elias says there should be more of moves like freeze dry or thousand arrows. They can boost the viability of some niche mons in a great way. I agree.
Mm-hmm. They got to be a little bit careful, though. If they release too many moves that are like a little complicated, you just kind of upset the casual audience trying to get into competitive. It's like, well, wait, he used a ground move. How did it hit me? Oh, it's just thousand arrows. What does that mean?
That's true. I mean, there was a time where Lapras was big in the meta because it had freeze dry. Now in Scarlet and Violet, that's Iron Bundle. I wonder if Iron Bundle upsets the casual audience.
I'm pretty sure Urshifu does, but I clicked protect. No.
But how do I get that? Valiant Blast says, I'm just going to call him N. 100% accuracy, 90 base power, type equals secondary type, Gardevoir and Gallade only, life orb equals 1/8 recoil, but 2x damage. This person has it really well thought out. And
1/8 recoil.
I'm not sure why it's based on the secondary type.
I guess you'll have either fairy move or fighting move.
Right. I see.
First typing is psychic.
Because it would just be psychic. You're right. So Valiant Blast either is fairy for Gardevoir or fighting for Gallade. Cool.
Plus life. Sharpness? Does it get sharpness boosted? That's the important question.
Ooh. Let's say yes. Why not?
Let's break it. Just break a lead.
I want to do just one last one from Dino Apple, who says, I would create the ability Speed Bond. Speed Bond gives a stronger version of Rap to the Pokemon on the enemy side who attack the Pokemon with a priority move and paralysis to them. It would give them paralysis.
Okay. Rap plus paralysis. That's a tight rope.
So if a Pokemon attacked them with priority, they would be wrapped up and paralyzed.
So if you get fake outed.
Mm-hmm. So like imagine Tangrowth gets this, right?
Okay, yeah.
It gets hit by a Mach Punch. The vines, it enraptures them.
Enraptures.
Gives them a little squeeze.
It's kind of like the fake outing fake out that fake outs the opposing fake outers fake out.
Yeah. What move is that again?
Something hand.
Oh, yeah. Iron hand.
No, that's the one that gets it.
Wait, really? Iron hands gets that?
It's gonna. I mean, that's a DLC 2 thing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, I've totally forgotten about that.
The fake out and fake out, the fake outs, the other users fake out.
I really want to remember what that move's called.
Just Google the fake out and fake out that
moves. Upper hand.
That one. Something hand. That's what I said.
Yeah, you got it. It was upper hand and psychic noise.
That I forgot what that is.
Yeah, upper hand, fake outs. But psychic noise deals damage and prevents the target from recovering HP for a specific number of turns. Oh, yeah,
it's heal block.
So it's the game's immediate answer to Matcha Gacha. They created the problem, and now they're creating the solution.
Guys, go play Sinistra while you can. Run!
Run, don't walk to Sinistra. Okay, I'm gonna. Oh no, no. That's gonna be Poke Sports.
Yeah.
It's been a whole like hour and a half of us just talking without without soundboard buttons. And right here at the last 5 minutes, you better believe we're going to be using all of them. So welcome to that. Guys, if you want to go and check out some fun stuff this week, I finally went and played with the Trevenant team.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Now up on the PokeSports YouTube channel, youtube.com/PokeSports. And again, as always, if you are ready to participate in some actual tournamentage, then you can go on over to patreon.com/PokeSports, where you can go and participate in the league. That's going to be happening for the rest of the month, where people are going to be organizing their own tournament. Yeah.
Fun time.
And by that, I mean, when I say organizing their own tournament, I mean, I leave it to the people to go and organize their matches. Of course, I help. I you know, push it along. But you have multiple days. You have multiple weeks, in fact, to finish your rounds, which sometimes helps people. Sometimes people are like, I'm waiting for my match. But other times they're like, oh, no, this gives me a lot of time to actually prepare.
Oh, I get to hang out with my child.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I do it.
Not holding back
my child from development.
Say goodbye. Just say goodbye. He's gone.
See you next time, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
My child from development.